Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
This is a free promo right here, but it is what it is.
Chick-fil-A, 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 Chick-fil-A.
So can I have, please, a 50-piece Mac Minis, 50 exactly,
okay.
Not 51, not 49, chicken minis, yes, 50, and let me have a large drink, no ice. Half Sprite, half lemonade.
Giannis is out there living it. He's been having so much fun. From the moment they won the championship, I think from like the moment that he hugged his family and kind of settled in with them. And then it was like, let's go have fun. And he's having fun at a high rate. Like, he's so likable. Like, even the order. You know, this girl's in the car. She's like, really? Like, we really have to do this thing that you're doing? Now, is that now the Giannis, by the way? Do we get to call the Sprite with a splash of lemonade the Giannis? Since Arnold Palmer has...
No ice, though. What's going down?
Oh, are you saying that it might be mixed with something?
It's weird.
But usually people ask for the ice they could have there.
Yeah, a little heavy ice.
Maybe he doesn't want... Maybe... Okay, so let's run it through. Maybe he doesn't want the drink itself watered down because he really loves Sprite and lemonade. And it, for the most part, it comes out of the tap cold, right?
Does it call the tap? It's not really a tap. Immediately.
Yes. Sprite should be on the phone with Giannis. Right. So should Chick-fil-A. He's going to have some things that he'll have to work through. But they should 100% be on the phone with them. And Sprite, instead of having LeBron, having cartoon character LeBron on my Christmas tree, like with his Sprite that he was doing, Giannis can get some of that love. So it happens when you're a champion. Speaking of which, Jim Ozarski, champion of the South Burbs. I'm not even going to make fun of where he's from and be like, oh, you know, he grew up in Addison, he grew up in Wheaton. I'm not going to do that today because he gets the opportunity to cover a championship team. There's a bunch of reasons why I want to have Jim on. Why? One, I like him. Two, he's from here. Three, he covered the Packers, so there's Aaron Rodgers talk that's coming up. Four, he covered the Bengals, so there's Andy Dalton talk coming up in this segment. And five, he does a great job for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering the Bucks. He joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Go to Las Vegas and stay at Circa Resort and Casino because you know what they got? They got the world's largest sports book. Hi, Jim.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening, Lord? Man, you want to talk about worlds colliding real quick? So Aaron Jones is in the building for game 6. Carlos Dunlap, who was in Cincinnati when I was there, it's like childhood friends with Chris Middleton. So he's, you know, in all of the photos post-game, it was. I had my Costanza moment of worlds colliding. Well, game six for sure.
I can imagine. I can imagine. I've been saying that Giannis is such a likable superstar. You get the opportunity to cover this guy. What's he like?
It is not a front. I think that's sometimes in our world, especially yours and I's, let alone the fans, that you can maybe look at these things in a cynical sort of way, right? But that's that dude, man. I was there when he was drafted, and he came over after his press conference. I'll never forget this, Lawrence. He asked us if it was okay that he was being called the Greek freak, because he's like, where I'm from, freak is not a good word. We're like, nah, man, like, you know, in America, if you're called an athletic freak, that's the thing. And now what? He's got a $200 million shoe line with that name. He's been, you know, that earnest and that fun since he came to the United States, and that has never gone away. Now, maybe he's more polished. Maybe he knows maybe when to turn it on a little differently as opposed to all the time. And he even said that postgame. He's always been honest. He's always put it out there. And I think, you know, that's why I think it works so well in Milwaukee, Lawrence, because he's connected in a way that all of the other MVPs never have. So even if someone thought they could relate to a Ryan Braun, or because he wasn't the biggest dude, or Brett Favre because, you know, you feel you could crack a beer with him on a boat, Giannis is at Chick-fil-A, the smoothie thing from years ago. His partner Mariah in the car, she is always giving it to him like that. That if they're together in a public setting, which like any sort of relationship you're in, you can relate to that too. So yeah, man, it's yeah, it's so basketball aside, that other part that you said where he's likable, I believe that's a genuine thing because I've seen it for so long, and I think the city appreciates that too.
Why did he stay?
Well, I think it's a lot of what I just said. I don't know this with 1,000% certainty, but the former owner of the Bucks when he was drafted was a senator, Senator Herb Cole. His family were in Greece illegally, Nigerian immigrants. Part of his story was they were hustling for whatever they could, always under a threat of racism and being deported, and, you know, just that sort of tension. And so he came to America by himself, trying to learn all this, the language, the sport, all those things, while they're over there. And then I believe you have a senator as a team owner. His family gets over here. So I think it started there, Lawrence, and it's always been about that. His partner's from Milwaukee, or, you know, he met her in Milwaukee. Their kids are born there. So I think there's that. And then when you add the sports side of it, of course, I do believe him when he said he could have gone anywhere and won a title easily. I mean, I know, and I don't, not that it's hard, but I believe he believes that. And I don't think he ever has taken a shortcut. And I think that was important for him to do. Now we'll see. In 5 years, he may bounce. He may want to go to LA. But I really, really believe that when he said in 2014, he wanted his jersey in the rafters at the Bucks Arena, and he wanted to win a title in Milwaukee, he was going to stay until that was done.
And look at him. Now he's gotten it done. Obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Giannis, and why not? Guy's got a million-watt smile. He seems like a wonderful human being. Chris Middleton's story, to me, is also fascinating. Him and Drew Holiday. How did they make this work with those three players that, at times, even during this playoff run, looked like they were mismatched and not headed towards a championship?
Yeah, it's crazy to think that this was the first year of their big three, Holiday being worked in. So we'll start with Middleton. You know, he was with Giannis. Giannis was drafted. Middleton was a throw-in, contractual piece to make the money work in a deal with Detroit 8 years ago. And they thought he was just, you know, he could be a guy at best, maybe make $10 million a year, start for someone, let alone be a two-time All-Star and you know, score 40 points in a finals game to help his team win a chip. That is all Chris Middleton in terms of just that work he put in. Obviously there's some physical gifts, but and Holiday was acquired because he wasn't the traditional point guard. you know, he could be that. But Giannis starts everything. Giannis facilitates the offense and gets everything going. They needed a point who could play off the ball, who could cut, who was okay getting into the paint with the bigs because that's where he needed to be, could rebound, defend, or like he did in game 5 of the NBA Finals, put out 13 assists because that's what they needed. So he, you know, that was, you know, I don't want to compare him as a career-wise to Oscar Robertson, Lawrence, but 50 years ago, the Bucks traded for a point guard to pair with their crazy athletic big and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to win a chip. And that's, they thought Holiday was that perfect kind of fit to Giannis, their games, their defense. And yeah, it did. You're right. It looked jagged at times. I think it was the first year stuff. They had no practice with COVID. So, but I think because they were unselfish and were able to play off one another willingly, they were able to get through kind of those rough patches to obviously get to the end goal.
I felt emotional seeing Kareem and Big O walk into the building. And I know that's just, I'm old. Like, I get that way sometimes, but it felt like so significant to have those guys there.
Yeah, it's look, man, I mean, Oscar, I think there's an identification with Milwaukee for him. You know, it was his only championship. They went to another final in 74 and then he retired. Cincinnati doesn't have a franchise
right
anymore. So I think Robertson is his brief 4 years in Milwaukee. I think he's thought of as a Buck. Kareem clearly is not. But man, he went a couple MVPs, a couple finals MVPs. He won his first title. The Bucks are the quickest of the big four sports franchises that ever win a championship, their second year of existence. So, but the climate was so different back then, Lawrence. I mean, they didn't have a parade in 1971.
Wow.
I mean, so I think them coming back wasn't healing. There was no animosity. There's nothing like that, but you're right. It was a way to tie the beginning to the present. Cause let's face it, man. I mean, the Bucks, they had some squads in the 80s, but they weren't really going to beat Boston or Philly. You know, they were kind of that fringy kind of team at the start of the Jordan era, right, with the Cavs. Like, they were pesky, but not, you know, and it's been mediocrity for 20-plus years. So, yeah, to kind of tie the two ends of the franchise together, yeah, you're right, man. It was cool. It was really cool to see that.
Jim Ozarski does a great job doing yeoman's work, the Journal Sentinel, up there in Milwaukee. Before he covered the Bucks, he covered the Packers, and we would often have him on to talk about the Packers. What the hell is going on with the Packers?
Yeah, it's so funny, Lawrence, because you say before, like literally the day before I covered the Bucks, we were getting ready for that second game of Packers Bears in December, whenever that was. Yeah, man. I can't imagine that there's Brian Gutekunst did not enjoy this Bucks run, because even in Wisconsin, believe it or not, unless Aaron Rodgers popped up on television playing golf somewhere or on Instagram with a singer somewhere, I mean, really, the Bucks have owned the spotlight since the NFL draft, you know, when all this kind of started in Green Bay. But obviously, training camp's around the corner, and after today's parade, I'm sure focus will shift. It's wild. I guess I didn't see this coming from Rodgers. I mean, he had always said all the right things, and maybe he tried to exert some influence. Maybe he was just mad that, they thought maybe a deal could be made, or whether it be his money or to ship him out of town, and it wasn't, and he just got upset. I don't know. I mean, he has yet to say anything about it, which is what he does. He's smart about that. He could roll into camp next week and say, I never said anything. What are you going to say to that, right? So I don't know. We'll find out really soon, though, where his head is at and where this team is at.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. And as I said in bringing you onto the air before that, you were in Cincinnati. You were working for the Inquirer, so you've covered Bill Lazor and Andy Dalton. What can a Bears fan, like forget about Justin Fields for a second. What can a Bears fan expect from Andy Dalton at this point in his career?
Yeah, well, first of all, he's going to run the plays as called, as designed. not that Mitch Trubisky was like calling audibles and breaking offense and things of that nature. But look, you're talking about a veteran quarterback who knows his play caller, who knows the offense, and knows where the ball's supposed to go and when. Now, as you know, like he's not at this point in his career. If that old line breaks down and this dude's got to run around, I mean, he's got some athleticism, but his accuracy and timing come from the pocket or maybe a little bit of shuffling around. So if the Bears set him up with that, it'll be on time and generally on target. I think the deep sideline ball has always been an issue for him. I think that's what Bears fans can expect as they wait for Justin Fields. And also, honestly, great teammate in that way. Like, he will help Justin Fields. Like, so that any behind-the-scenes conversation, he's a competitor. He'll want to start 16 games and more. But Justin Fields will have help from Andy Dalton at Hallis Hall.
So he is, when people talk about the good room and stuff like that, he's someone who actually believes in it, and it's not just lip service.
Yeah, 100%. He's one of the few guys that we started this conversation talking about how genuine Giannis Antetokounmpo is. Andy Dalton is, I would say, right up there in terms of guys I've been around on a daily basis. They don't have their own hospital in Cincinnati like Peyton Manning does in Indianapolis, but him and his wife essentially built a wing in a Cincinnati hospital for kids they're that kind of people, and yeah, he's definitely that kind of teammate.
All right, man. Is there anything else you want to say to the people of the South Suburbs?
Hey, man, it's good to be home. I'm coming home for vacation. We'll put it that way. It's been a long year.
All right. Well, if you're here for a while, hit me up, and I owe you beers or dinner or something.
Yeah, man, we will do that. I look forward to it.
All right, Jim, be good, man. Have fun with this.
All right, thank you so much. I will.
That is Jim Ozarski from the Journal Sentinel. I always like when my friends get an opportunity to cover championships. It's fun. 3 weeks are going to go by, and it's going to feel like a blur with all the work that he's doing, but it's going to be worth it. No doubt about it. Good stuff. Good intel on Andy Dalton, too. The Aaron Rodgers thing is just... And we're there. Herbie, we're here. I saw Jerry Jones on NFL Network this morning crying about the Cowboys. We are here. We are already getting our stuff together for next week for Bears training camp opening up.
You made it. Thank you, White Sox.
Well, the White Sox are still going to be here.
No, we're good now.
We just need to get to this bridge.
I'm just used to that. You know, like, hey, thanks, baseball, for getting us to football. And now you'll go away.
But- and now forget about whatever happens in September or even October, because Bears football is back. Dun, dun.
I'm actually excited about it. It's weird. It's odd.
I think that there are definitely reasons to be excited, but that new quarterback smell is always an intoxicating aroma. And the Bears have that. And Bears fans didn't think they were going to get that one. It's like, oh, there's a bunch of cars over here. They're all nice cars. Be happy to have any one of them. Wait a minute. You mean that Ferrari's available? And it's in our price range? Can we have that? Ryan Pace bought the Ferrari! Let's go! But yeah, we're going to have all sorts of Bears programming for you next week as training camp gets underway. Oh, and I'd be interested to talk with people who... Hit me up on the text line if you won the lottery. If you're going to get a chance to go to training camp. Because I'd love to know. Good for you. I mean, it sucks for everyone else, but good for you that you're going to get this opportunity. When we come back, there were some observations from both baseball games that I wanted to talk about. And there's one player in particular that I want to try and figure out how we should describe the way they play. That and something funny from our guy Zach Zaidman next here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Lawrence Holmes, live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
The pitch by McFarland. Swinging a ground ball towards short. They go to second for one. And now Rizzo is going to try to score the throw home. And they've got Anthony a rundown between third and home. Meanwhile, going to second base is Happ. Rizzo staying in the rundown for a long time, gets tagged out. It's a double play.
Oh, that's not the situation you want to be in. Hey, man, the Cubs-Cardinals series has been entertaining. And there have been moments of great baseball. I'll get to that in a second. I want to clear up a couple of things from earlier in the show. One, a lot of you who have texted in, I think there's something to your theory. Your theory being that Giannis doesn't want a lot of ice because he's European. And that there's not a lot of ice over there.
That's an American thing?
Yeah, it's more American than European. You have to like really ask for ice. And if you ask in Europe for ice, people get frustrated with you. So there's that. Someone else just said, look, he's just trying to get he's balling on a budget that he wants as much Sprite and lemonade as he can get in the cup. And I'm not mad at him. Also, you can stop sending me all of your recipes for lean. I've had enough of that. You can just stop. I don't need to know what it is you do with your Sprite and lemonade in a cup from a fast food place. That's quite enough. What is wrong with y'all? People texted in about going to training camp. Someone said that they got tickets and they live in Northwest Indiana. If you have the means, stay in a hotel near Lake Forest, instead of trying to wake up and drive through whatever route you go. if you go 80 to 294, or if you decide I'm going to be brave and go 94 all the way up from Northwest Indiana, if you have the means, just find a hotel in like Vernon Hills or something. Make a whole 2 days out of it. Because those practices, most of them are 8 o'clock practices, right? Like they're pretty early. Don't mess around with that because you're going to be mad trying to get through the city right now. But I hope you have a good time when you go out there. There's a particular, I wrote down a bunch of stuff from the games last night. I'm watching both teams very differently now because, you know, the White Sox have such a commanding lead in the American League Central, and the Cubs thing is, you know, it's going to change. But there's a couple things that I wrote down. And in watching the game between the Cubs and the Cardinals last night, the word that I came up with for Nolan Arenado is smooth. He's just smooth. And I'm trying to think, is there a comp for him? I don't even mean positionally. I mean defensively. Now, usually, like the one that kind of came to mind, and it's completely different position, but Andrew Jones came to mind for me, where you're watching a guy glide to where the ball is and be so smooth, like through the throw. Arenado is, my God, that play that he made on Contreras, who probably shouldn't have run on that play, but I get it, where he dives to get the ball and then has the accuracy of Peyton Manning on the throw home. He's so good. I mean, I know that he's got the platinum gloves. Like, he doesn't need me affirming how good he is at third base. But when you're watching a game dispassionately, at this point, I imagine I'm not alone in that. Even for Cubs fans, there might be a lot of people, like, the game's on in the background. I'm watching the game dispassionately. I'm like, good God, man. He's just fantastic. Some of the angles with which he throws. And it's weird because he can throw hard. Like, you've seen him make the throw from behind the third base line. You've seen him make the throw from the hole on shifts. Like, all sorts of stuff. But he seems to have this way about him. The way that he plays a position, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous baseball. Herbie, can you think of any other comps for him?
Not really. He's in a class by himself. I mean, Matt Chapman's also good at third, but I would say I do like Manny Machado, but I don't think he's on that level of player that Nolan Arenado, because like you said, he makes the hard look routine because the angles he takes. He understands baseball. He's like, okay, I'm going to cut the corner so I can throw the ball a little bit better when I get to first base, put myself in a better position when I do receive the ball.
Yeah, and Manny, like, to me, he does come through with this spectacular. Like, he makes plays that you go, ooh. But I also feel like, for example, Baez, to me, is not in the same category. Because Baez is, there's a lot of instinct and power to his game. And occasionally, he's super smooth, because Javi is Javi. But with Arenado, it's like every play you go, how did he get there? How did he break this angle off right on the throw? I was just in awe of his mastery of his position.
Would it be the comparison of Jim Edmonds to Andrew Jones?
Yeah, like Jim Edmonds. Well, I mean, Jim Edmonds, you know, he did the thing where it's like, I'm going to play shallow and I'm going to go run.
Like, Andrew Jones didn't dive because he got great jumps, understood where the ball was going to land, and he was just always there. So it didn't look, wow, Andrew Jones is on some highlight show, but Jim Edmonds is.
You know who it does remind me of in a very small way? And old school Cub fans will understand what I'm getting ready to say. Sandberg. People used to make fun of Sandberg all the time. Oh, he doesn't dive. He doesn't have great. He didn't have to. He's 6'4". He didn't have to dive. So he'd make plays at second base where people were like, ah. And most other second basemen couldn't make them. But, like, people are throwing King Griffey Jr. out there. I think Jr.'s overall game is smooth. But I've always felt, like, power from him at center field. You know, like the way that he would go after the ball. It's a different aesthetic, and no one's right or wrong in this discussion of baseball beauty. I just, when I'm watching Arenado, I'm just feel like I'm watching a guy who is so good and so confident about the throws and the math that he's doing in the moment. Like, go look at the play that he made on Contreras at the plate. The angle at which he threw the ball, it doesn't make sense. And he was able to get him. And you know, Willie's always trying to make it difficult on you to get that throw home. And in the moment when he's on the ground, Arenado is like, watch this. Whoop. He like disced it. Like if you were out there playing disc football, this is what he did. Like, boop, you're out by a lot. Andrelton Simmons, not bad. Some people are texting in. I don't have enough of a grasp on Brooks Robinson that I could say that for sure, but people who grew up loving Brooks Robinson will preach the gospel of Brooks Robinson to you.
And I never really saw Michael Jack Schmidt play, but people told me that he was gloving in that third.
Yes. Schmidt, I mean, Hall of Famer. Isn't Schmidt the reason that Sandberg was a Cub? Am I remembering that right? Didn't Sandberg come up as a third baseman? But they had Mike Schmidt, so you end up with two Hall of Fame players playing at different positions. Torrey Hunter, that's interesting, but I kind of also associate Hunter with power. Now, that might just be the memory of Jamie Burke getting run over on a loop in my head. But I kind of, the Andrelton Simmons one is really good.
Torrey Hunter, responsible for the 05 championship. Thank you, Torrey.
That's right. Someone said Soriano. No. But I give Sori credit. On those teams, I was at Wrigley Field a lot pregame. And he wasn't lying to you. He was legitimately out there trying to be a better outfielder 3 hours before games. I don't know how that whole hop thing started when he would catch the ball. And it was bizarre, but he was trying to put in the work. Oh, these are good. Lindor. Lindor is a really good comp. Like, I think about that, like, for Team Puerto Rico, which one of them is at second, which one is at short? I feel like Javi's got a little bit more arm. But I also kind of trust Lindor to make the common play more often. You don't have any bad choices there. They could just switch up every inning, too, because those two guys are that damn good. Someone saying Chipper Jones. Smooth is a good, I think, assessment of Chipper Jones as a third baseman. He also could, I mean, he had the biggest flex ever. With his daughter's name?
Shay.
Yeah, because he owned the Mets. That's a flex right there. Other things that I thought from last night, I'm going to go full Hawk Harrelson on you here with two observations from the White Sox-Twins game. One, is there a bigger man that takes a more aggressive turn at first base than Miguel Sano? Last night, I'm watching him. I'm like, man, he is big guy's getting up. He legitimately was cutting the bag at first base, like trying to push a throw. And a lot of times when you get the bigger guys and they hit a single, they're just like, let me trot down to first base and then figure it out. Also, has Nelson Cruz always been this aggressive of a base runner? I think he's got 3 stolen bases this year. And just him scoring or going first to third. And remember earlier this season, he ran them out of an inning?
Really bad play.
It's like, what are you doing? Where are you going?
Can't wait till he gets traded off that team. Cannot wait.
Well, let's hope that he gets traded off of that team to a team that the White Sox don't have to deal with. Because what you'd hate to have happen is have him get traded to Boston.
I mean, they got already a better designated hitter.
Pile on. Okay, fine. Wait, he doesn't have, does he even own a glove? Like, at this point, does he even own a glove?
I would say that when they go to a National League ballpark, they want him to be playing instead of Kirilloff. But yeah, if he goes to Oakland, that would suck. Or Tampa, that would be horrible. Because right now, if you're going with the White Sox being the best team in the American League, they would have to play the wild card, which are Tampa and Oakland, I believe, where you have to fight it out.
Stop texting me just third baseman in the history of the game. We're doing something very specific here. Don't send me Ron Say text messages. Get out of here with the Penguin.
You didn't like your Herbert Perry?
The Milkman? Milkman played an all right third base for the White Sox. It's fine.
I mean, there's no smoother third baseman than Robin Ventura.
Robin
in White Sox history, so let's make that clear.
Robin falls under the category of smooth at his position. I would agree with you on that. But Arenado, man. Here's a couple of numbers for you, too. Moncada in his last 15. 278, 381, 556. Tim Anderson in his last 30 games. 344, 368, 511. That'll work. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about an Olympic story that is fascinating and something that you should keep an eye on while you're watching this year's, last year's, whatever Olympics this is. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago. Middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
If you listen to this show, you know that I'm all things bat and ball. So whether we're talking about baseball or we're talking about softball, I am here for it. If you didn't get into the Women's College Championship, which you should because it was amazing this year, there's another opportunity with the Olympics, and there's a crazy story in the Olympics with an Olympian that you have to see. Kat Osterman. Those of you who know anything about softball know that she's one of the greatest pitchers that's ever lived. She was retired. She won a gold medal 17 years ago with Team USA. I think she was 21, 22 back then. She came out of retirement to pitch this year for Team USA, and I'm telling you, you talk about a Kyle Hendricks-esque pitcher, although that's probably not fair to Kat. It'd probably be fair to compare her to Maddox with the way that she's able to control the strike zone, and she's not one of these people that just overpowers hitters. She is out here just dotting pitches. Wherever she wants to go, you can try and hit the rise ball if you want. Just know that that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a 38-year-old pitcher come out of retirement to dominate other countries. And everyone's terrified because of how stupid she makes batters look. Look up Kat Osterman's strikeouts on YouTube. I promise you, you will laugh at the way that she corkscrews batters into the ground. So if you're looking for a good Olympic story, catch some Team USA softball. Kat Osterman is back, and the whole damn world is in trouble. I will talk with Danny Parkins next here on The Score.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.